fine, but I'm not going to repeat all that. Bonnie and I had a good week. We're happy to be back. I'm sure you're curious as to how things went. And the bottom line is we're still here and we're not going anywhere yet. So, but it was still a good week, and we appreciate your prayers and your concern for us. 2 weeks ago, well, a few weeks ago, I was going to preach a sermon, and things happened to where I needed to push that sermon off a week. So I did. And so 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon. I'm pretty sure it was on the Holy Spirit, and everybody was just fine with that, except for Jenna Russ. And Jenna Russ came up to me afterwards and said, "Jared, what happened to the theme sermon? None of you all caught that." And neither did I. I said, "I do the theme sermon on the first Sunday of the month." She said, "It is the first Sunday of the month." I looked at my calendar and said, I was in error. And so I couldn't do the sermon last week. And so this week we're going to try to catch up, and we're going to continue on with our theme, which is, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And what we've looked at so far, I have that in the wrong order. Okay, what I've looked at so far in January, we just kind of did an overview of Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 14, getting this phrase, verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me," getting that in the context of the verse and of the book. And then the next month, what we did was we really looked at this idea of finding contentment in all circumstances. And then we looked at popular ways that this verse is misused for people saying that, this is why I have notes, because I can't always remember these things. "I will enjoy all things" is not what this verse says. "I can do whatever I want because God will let me" is not what this verse says. And "I am so great, I can do all things" is not what this verse says. And those lessons are all available online. What I want to talk about this morning is, "I can endure all things." And really, that's what this statement is. When he says, "I can do all things," I suppose that Paul could be saying, "You know what, I can build a spaceship and go to the moon." And it's true, with God, you can do that. I can climb the highest mountain. I can lift 8,000 pounds. And you know what? It's true. If God's help, you can do anything. But in this context, he's not saying, "I can do anything." He's really saying, "I can endure everything." In Philippians 4 and verse 10, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." He's talking about what he's facing. "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." He's not talking about great accomplishments he can make. He's talking about the fact that he can endure whatever he faces. And so he's telling them, "Don't worry about me. I'm going to be okay. It's great that you're helping me, but you don't need to worry. I can survive anything. I can endure all things." That word endurance, even though it doesn't show up in the book of Philippians, it occurs all over in the Bible. And in the Greek, it has kind of an interesting origin. It means to be held back, to stay behind. In fact, it's actually translated that way once in Luke chapter 2 and verse 43. You remember when Jesus was just a boy, a young man, and they go and they visit Jerusalem, and then his family leaves Jerusalem? In verse 43 says, "As they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it." It just said that he endured. That word is going to come to mean endurance in all the other places in the New Testament. And the idea behind it is that everybody else left and he stayed. And that's really the concept. It's not like what they did was wrong. It's just they didn't endure in Jerusalem. He stayed in Jerusalem. It's about us getting through life, surviving, staying on the right course, not quitting. It's the ability to withstand hardship. So Paul's saying, "I can endure all things through him who strengthens me." And I really want us to then focus on those two words, all things. Because everybody faces something, and we often face a lot. And Paul is saying it can pile on top of each other. It can get intense. It can get strong. But it cannot make me quit. I can endure anything. I can endure everything. And so in 1 Peter 2 and verse 20, we start thinking about what we see within the scriptures. And in the Bible, what we find is not a happy-go-lucky book. It's like, look, everybody's having this great rosy life. They started serving God and life was great. That's not the Bible. The Bible is filled with the challenges people face as they follow God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 20, it talks about we need to be willing to endure unjust treatment. What credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So when the world treats us in exactly the way it shouldn't, that shouldn't get us to quit. We can endure that. In 2 Peter, and I'm mindful of the fact that 1 and 2 Peter have an awful lot to deal with the suffering of Christians. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, he talks about in the Old Testament the victory that God gives Lot. He says, if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. And then verse 9, it says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. But he goes through and he talks about Lot, and we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot was. And he's saying Lot had to endure his society. He had to endure moral corruption. Brothers and sisters, if you're just going through life without being bothered by what's going on around us, I suggest that what's going on around us has influenced you more than it should. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah all thought they were okay, except for Lot. He's the one who's going to survive. The very things that were happening in Sodom and Gomorrah in regards to homosexuality have happened here, but more. We managed to add to it questions of gender as well. And I know that's not easy. That should cause us to be bothered while we watch various shows. I refer to it as, I talk to people, say, oh, they Netflixed it. Because there's a motivation behind things. And it's not just Netflix. They Amazoned it. They Disneyed it. Everything is now, let's push this on us. And we can endure it. We must not be influenced by it, but we can endure however bad it gets in our society. Why? Because I can endure all things, whatever it is that is coming at us. I can endure the treatment of friends. I can endure when I am betrayed by those closest to me. In Psalm 55, David talks about how it would be one thing if he was suffering at the hands of enemies, but that's not the case here. In verses 12 through 14, he says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. His very closest friend is betraying him. And that is a wound that stabs deep. But you can endure all things. Just continue on in the psalm, verse 16. As for me, I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Verse 18. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me. Down to verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. He is saying, I can endure this. I can endure this because God is strengthening me. We will all face something that we have to endure. I know this because I learned something about Satan in the book of Job. And the first two chapters of Job, we're introduced to this character, Job, this guy who is the most righteous man on earth. And that causes Satan a problem. Satan's normal approach is, I will get you to do what's wrong. Here's a piece of fruit. You're not allowed to have it. Eat it. And that works for most of us. For most of us, Satan can just offer us something and we are enticed and we sin. It's not working on Job. Job is a righteous man who's always saying no to everything Satan offers. And I learned something about Satan then. I mean, the book of Job is about the test of Job, but I'm learning something about Satan. If Satan can't get you to sin and he has any way, what he will then do is make you suffer as much as he can. And so he takes Job and he takes away all of his wealth and he's impoverished. He takes away all of his family and he is alone and he is sorrowful and he is suffering. And he takes away his health, and he's in pain. That's what Satan does if he has his way. And we face an enemy, the same enemy. We will have to endure. And we can endure anything. Because that's what Paul's saying. I can endure all things. I don't know what your all things are. I don't know what it is that causes you stress or pain, what keeps you up at night, what makes you feel like quitting. I don't know what it is, but we all have something. And we need to keep in mind this theme and this encouraging message from Paul. I can endure it. I can stay on this path. I can finish this race that I've begun. I can endure all things. And well, there's some things we can do to help ourselves in this process, some things that we can make it a little bit easier, and that is focus on the things that matter. You can bring a great deal of suffering and pain upon yourself on things that don't matter. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he says that we can endure this race. But the way that we endure the race, he says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we can make this a little bit easier if we just simplify our lives, focus on the things that matter. Don't get distracted by these other things that can really add to our concerns. Don't get too caught up in money. Don't get too caught up in work. Don't get too caught up in your hobbies. Don't get too caught up on these things that can make you very stressed but aren't helping you run the race with endurance. You can make your life a little bit easier, but that's not the main point. It's not what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying, I can endure all things because I can simplify my life. No, that's not what he's saying. I can endure all things because I have to. Because I need to. We all have to be able to endure all things because we all will face something. I've already said that. But if you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus gives us the advice very similar to what Hebrews 12 was saying. Focus on what matters. In this case, it's focus on the day. Focus on what you're facing right then at that moment. He says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I don't want to discourage you, but he's really saying, worry about today because you're going to have something to worry about tomorrow too. And you can start piling it all up. I can endure all things. I have to endure all things. I have to because I will face something. Tomorrow I will face something. The day after that I will face something, and so will you. We will always have those challenges. But that's not really the point I want to make either. And you're starting to wonder, are you ever going to get to the point? The answer is yes. I can endure all things because I need to. I mean something different, though. What I mean is, I can endure all things because I have to. I know there's two choices, quit and keep going, but there's only one choice. Yes, you have an option. You can quit. You can give up. You can give up on God. You can give up on your religion. You can give up on your family. You can give up on righteousness. You can give up, but that's no choice. There is only one choice that leads to what matters most. There's only one choice that leads to what we care about most. There's only one choice that leads to heaven, and that is to endure. I endure all things because I have to. So in Hebrews 10 and verse 36, well, why don't we start just a few verses before that? He's talking to people that have already endured and endured things that I have not really seen in my life. He says, remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession with a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. I endure all things because I have to. It is when we endure, it is when we keep going and don't quit and finally get to the end, it is then that we get the promise. It is then that we get the blessings that made it all worthwhile. Why do we go through the pain? Why do we go through the suffering? Because we haven't gotten what we want yet. We haven't gotten to the prize. We haven't gotten to the end. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12, those who endure will reign with him. You'll see this throughout scriptures. Endure leads to reward, leads to the prize. But that's not what Paul's saying either. Paul's not saying, I can do all things because I have to. I can endure everything because I have to. What Paul is saying is, I can endure everything. I can endure anything because I'm not alone. Now, there's some truth to that in the sense that you're facing trouble, and I'm facing struggles. We've all got to fight. Sometimes it's the same fight. Sometimes it's a different fight. But we all face a fight. And that can be comforting. And that can help us get through. And we see things like that in 1 Peter chapter 5, after telling us that, you know, we have this common enemy who's out there seeking to devour us and destroy us. He says in verse 9, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. You fight Satan, remembering this, you're not alone. This fight is something all around the world people are facing. People are struggling. Yes, that's true. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. He's talking about Hebrews chapter 11. And he talks about all these things that all these people in the Bible, that all of them have faced. And it tells me they got through it, I can get through it. Or in Hebrews 12, verses 2 through 3, he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Saying, look, Jesus endured. And boy, didn't he. He endured humiliation. He endured pain unlike anything I have known. And he got through it. And the point is, so can you. We can endure all things because we're not alone. Yeah. But that's not what Paul's saying. No. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, and our theme for the year, he's saying, I can endure all things through him who strengthens me. I can get through anything, and I can get through everything because I'm not alone. Not because other people are suffering, but because the true source of power and comfort is with me. And so Paul's in Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and you know, Paul's had it where people throw rocks at him so much that they think he's dead. And then they just leave him, and he gets up and he keeps preaching. Paul's had it to where he has spent a day and a night in the ocean because his ship wrecked, and he's just sitting out there trying to swim. Paul's had it to where people have laid him down, took off his shirt, and just slashed his back 39 times. And that's happened multiple times to him. Paul has endured a lot of things. You can understand why Paul would be a little timid every city he went to. What's it going to be this time? How big of stones does this city use? I've never had a thought like that, but he might have. And so in Acts chapter 18, he's reminded, keep going, Paul. don't quit, and don't be afraid. In Acts chapter 18, he's at Corinth. And it says in verse 9, the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. We're not alone. The God who answered Jesus in the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is praying intensely, his sweat has become like blood. He's saying, I don't even remember what the word he used. It's so disturbed to the point of death. But he wasn't alone. God sent him an angel to comfort him. That same God is with us. And we won't always see it, and we won't always feel it. Job didn't see it, and Job didn't feel it, but God was with him. God was with him in chapter 1 when Satan's saying, I want to get Job. And God was saying, you have limits. And there's always limits, and that is God working for you. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we're told that no temptation has overcome us, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will not allow it. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So God is there limiting it. God watches Job, and God at the end blesses Job with what Job could never have accomplished on his own. The point is, when we talk about I can endure anything, and I can endure everything, it's not because I've gotten that strong. It's not because I just have this arrogant thing of Satan can't possibly beat me. It's not that. It's exactly what Paul is saying. I can endure anything. I can endure everything because God is with me and God strengthens me. So whatever you face, just remember, you can endure. You must endure. Rely on God. I want us to come back to that idea in just a few weeks now because I didn't do my calendar very well. But it's not just I can endure all things. Paul's saying more than that. He's also saying I can rejoice in all things and I can be faithful in all things. And we'll come back to that thought later on. I thank you for your time and for your attention, and I pray that we will all dedicate ourselves to whatever it is we face this week. Do not quit. Press on. Finish this race. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. The water is ready behind us. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the water is ready behind us, right? I'm sorry, I just remembered I had an email a few weeks ago. There is water behind me. So if you would like to be baptized, you can be baptized into Christ this morning right away. Have your sins washed away and join us in this journey. If you're a Christian and you've fallen away, there's front seat ready. We invite you to come. Tell us what you've done. We will pray for you, and God has promised he will forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?